Seems like the umpires are coming out to the field now. I wonder what they want. The gentleman, you don't like the story or something? What do you mean I have to leave the field? I know it's not raining. I could tell that myself. No, I'm not leaving the field. I got to finish this story. I don't care if you have a game to play. I have a story to tell. Look what's going on the field, Misha. The umpires are trying to get Weagas to go off the field, but he doesn't want to leave. This is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. There's no rain, and he doesn't want to leave the field. Let's see if we can pick up what's going on. Gentlemen, I'm not leaving. This story is much more important than the baseball game. I know baseball's important, the American pastime, but this story has a lesson, has a moral, and people have to hear the end. You'll play the game later. You know what? Let's ask everybody, okay? Looks like the manager's coming out to speak to him. Weagas, you gotta leave the field. I'm not leaving. Listen, I got two big fat steaks on a grill. You leave that field, they're yours. You mean the stakes are high, huh? You know what? Let's ask the island. Let's ask the boys and girls that are here if they want me to leave or not. Boys and girls, listen to me. Whoever wants to see the end of the baseball game now, give a big cheer. I said give a big cheer. I don't know about you, sir, but I don't hear anything. Whoever wants to hear me finish the story, give a big cheer. What do you say to that? Thank you. You can stop cheering now. My ears are hurting. Thank you. Ow. Oh, my ear. Ooh. Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Manager. It's the American way. This is democracy. We voted, and you have to leave the field. Now go back to the dugout and enjoy the rest of the story. As for the steaks, I'll eat them later. Years passed, and Lebke ended up staying in front of the shul from morning to night with his little tin cup, begging for coins. Also making weird and disgusting sounds at people, scaring some of the people away. Maybe 10, 15 years. He was a sorry sight. People had rachmanis on him. They gave him money. But it was nothing like it used to be. The once proud tailor, Leibke, was now Leibke Marischeira. But the story's not over yet. Far from over. In the town of Vilna, there lived a very wealthy person. His name was Menashe Weiss. Menashe was respected. He was philanthropic. He gave a lot of tzedakah. A wonderful human being. People liked him. He was courteous. He was kind. As a matter of fact, he was a pretty nice guy. But on this day, Menashe was not in a good mood. He had just received a telegram from Copenhagen discussing some business problem that he was having, and he really didn't know what to do. Pacing up and down in his office, looking at the letter over and over again, when all of a sudden, his assistant, Shmuel Scheichet, walked in. Hey, Menashe, how you doing? What's happening with you? What are you in such a good mood about? What am I in such a good mood about? I just stayed to give Aldi a breakfast, and in a few hours I'm going to eat a great lunch. And I looked at the menu, and tonight I'm going to be eating a great supper. That's why I'm in a good mood. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with me? Take a look at this telegram. Shmuel takes the telegram, looks at it. Very nice, very nice. What's so nice about it? The words seem to be very nice words that are on this telegram. Why don't you read the telegram? You never said read it. You said look at it. I looked at it. It looks beautiful. Look at the penmanship. It's great. I didn't ask you about the graphic design. I asked you about the content. Oh, the content. You want to know about what it says. I didn't know that. Here, let me read it. No, what do you think? Too many numbers in this telegram. You know, I'm not good at math. I don't understand what this is saying. I'm sure it's not a problem. If I can't understand it, I'm sure there's no problem. So what do you suggest? Well, I suggest that if they write you a lot of numbers, write them a lot of numbers. Let's write, like, good numbers, like 3, 6, 9. These are nice numbers. 12, 15, 18. Write a bunch of numbers back. What are you saying? Well, they sent us a telegram with numbers. Our response will be other numbers. Don't write the same numbers they wrote. What are you talking about? This is a major problem. Hot dogs. What do you mean it's a... Well, it's a... What's the problem? You don't understand one word that it said in this telegram. You're right. How did you know that? How did you know I didn't understand? What gave you that clue? What gave me that clue? I'm living with you in this office for 10 years. I don't need a clue. Listen to me. This is a big problem. Do you want to be a vice president of this company or not? Oh, vice president. Wait here a minute. Vice president means an office? Yes, it means an office. And furniture? Yes, it means furniture. And leather chairs? Yes, it means leather chairs. And nice big pictures? Yes, pictures. What do you need pictures for? My office needs pictures. And a big raise? A big raise? I pay... A big raise, yes. Well, if you'll be vice president, I'm telling you, you'll get whatever you want. But first, we have to take care of this problem. Oh, now I'm ready to discuss the problem. What seems to be the problem with the telegram? Listen to me. Remember many years ago, we took out big loans to open up different stores all over Europe? Yeah, I remember that, yeah. We took out the loans at very high interest. Yes, that was very interesting when we did that. I found that to be very interesting. It wasn't interesting, it was high interest. Yes, my level of interest was very high in those loans. That's not what I mean! What do you mean? I mean that we have to pay back at a high interest rate. The interest rate is 10%. Whoa, that's very interesting. 10%, that's a lot. You're right, it's a lot. And the problem is that all the bankers are getting together in Copenhagen, Denmark. I never heard of that place. They make good chocolate over there. Chocolate is from Switzerland. Oh, okay, what do they make good there? Could you listen to me for a minute? They want us to pay up the full loans now. The full loans now? How are we going to do that? That's the problem. I have no idea. Oh, neither do I. Are you the president of this company? Yes. Well, if I have no idea and you have no idea, then what makes you different than me? I think I could be president also in such a circumstance. Could you stop it already? Schmiel, stop it and listen to me. We have to think of something. Thinking is a good idea. It's not something I do very often. Maybe next week I can start thinking. This week I'm very busy with thinking about other things. What are you thinking about? Lunch, breakfast, supper... What I'm going to be putting in my big fancy office, exactly what type of materials are going on the floor. You're not going to get an office if this business is liquidated. Liquidated? I don't like the sound of that word, liquidated. You're right. Now listen to me. What does liquidated mean? It means kaputsky. Kaputsky? You got a dictionary, I don't know, from liquidated, I don't know from kaputsky. What does that mean? That means you'll be out of a job. No vice president? No office? No big mahogany chairs, no leather seats, no pictures, no nothing. Oh, Menashe, you gotta do something. You gotta do something. You gotta save the business. You gotta save the business. I'm trying to save the business. If you would please stop going crazy. Oh, okay. Well, what are we gonna do? This is what we're gonna do. This is the plan. The plan is like this. We have to go down to the meeting in Copenhagen. And we have to convince the bankers that all we need is more time. The businesses are doing well. The businesses are making money. We just need more time. They have to give us a few more years at a lower interest rate. Yes, that's a great idea. It's a great idea. I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds like a great idea. We can't afford 10%. They got to go down to 4%. Or 5%. I don't know, but we can't afford 10%. But what happens if they say no? If they say no, they're going to confiscate our businesses. My furniture! They're gonna take it away before I even get it! I can't handle this! Compose yourself. I'm trying! I'm trying! I can't! I just became vice president and I'm already losing my office! This is terrible! Could you control yourself for 1 minute? We have one night. We are leaving tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning? What do you mean tomorrow morning? We're going tomorrow morning. We're going to Copenhagen. The meeting is in a few days. We have to leave tomorrow morning. I'm sorry, I can't. What time tomorrow morning? We have to get up at 5 o'clock. Are you out of your mind? 5 o'clock is the middle of the night. How could you wake up in the middle of the night? It's not the middle of the night. It's early in the morning. Everything is relative. To me, 5 o'clock is the middle of the night. What time for you is the morning? 10 o'clock is fine. If you wake me up at 10, I'll be ready. No, we have to leave at 5. I'm sorry, it's casual Shaney. You can't wake me up in the middle of the night. I need my beauty sleep, but I mean, come on, you know I have to get at least 12 hours of sleep every single night. 12 hours, that l'chalapach is 12, sometimes 14, 15. Shmuel, if you're not getting up 5 in the morning, you are not going to be vice president. Do you mean it? I'm telling you, if you're not waking up to come with me at 5 in the morning, no more vice president, finished. Cancel the carpet, cancel the desk, cancel the chairs. All right, I'll get up.
I don't know how I'll do it. I'll get up, but you'll owe me. I'm telling you, Menashe, you'll owe me for this. You'll owe me. You'll owe me for the rest of my life. I better go to sleep now. I need those 12 hours. It's 6 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm only going to get 11 hours. I don't know what I'm going to do. Menashe, of course, cannot sleep the whole night. But don't worry about Shmuel. He's puffing away. 4:45 in the morning. Menashe comes into Shmuel's room. Shmuel, get up. Sha, sha. Go away. Somebody's trying to sleep in here. Shmuel, get up. I must be having a nightmare. Somebody's trying to make me up in the middle of the night. I must be having a nightmare. Shmuel, get up. We have to leave. Hi. Somebody. It's Gezel Shena. Shmuel, get up. It's a nightmare. Hi. Somebody's coming to wake me up. Go away. Go away from you. I'm going to call Menashe on you. I'm going to call Menashe. 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 Finally, Shmuel opens his eyes. Menashe, it's you. Somebody was here. He was making me up in the middle of the night. It was like a nightmare. I was waking you up in the middle of the night. Oh, yeah, it did resemble you a little bit. Well, it's 5 o'clock. It's 4:45. It's not even 5 o'clock yet. I know, but we got to be out of here by 5. You never said that. You never said that. That wasn't part of the deal. Get up, Shmuel, now. Now, we got to go daven. Okay, I'm getting up. Don't forget, you don't come with me at 5. No vice president. No vice president. He keeps threatening me with that. Shmuel gets dressed. Menashe gets dressed. And they go off on the coach as they go to the shul to daven kivasikin. Oilam files into the shul kivasikin. Everybody goes into daven. Davening, a good davening in the morning. Beautiful shachris. Shachris is over. They're getting ready to leave. Shmuel is running toward the coach. He's got to get into that coach. He's going right back to sleep. Shmuel, where are you running, man? Where are you running, Menashe says. Listen, every minute counts. If I get back to that coach, I get extra minutes sleep. As Menashe is leaving the shul, he looks to the side of the shul, and sitting over there with his tin cup is Leibke Meir Shcheira. Leibke makes hounding sounds again. Menashe looks at Leibke. Leibke looks at Menashe. Menashe puts his hand in his pocket. Leibke says, Menashe, it's me, Menashe, you know me. Listen, Leibke, I got tzaras. I'm going on a big, big business meeting today. I'm going to give you some tzedakah, but I need you to give me a bracha. Come on, Leibke. Give me a bracha. Menashe takes his coin, flips it in the cup, and under the howls and grunts, Leibke Morishchair goes, Bimatzliach. Thank you, Leibke. Menashe goes on to the coach. He taps Shmuel on the shoulder. Shmuel, get up! Are we there yet? We didn't leave yet. You mean we're not there yet? No. Shmuel, tzedakah. It's a great Indian after davening to give tzedakah, and before we go on such an important trip, I think you should give tzedakah. I gave it to the office. Leave me alone. Shmuel, you see Leibke over there? Leibke the tailor, the old tailor? Yeah, I know Leibke, sure. Give him some money. Are you out of your mind? I can't go near that guy. That guy makes funny sounds. He's a harmless person. He might be harmless to you, but he makes those sounds get me nervous. Don't worry about the sound, Shmuel. Give him money and ask him for a bracha. A bracha from him? I'm not going near him. How am I going to... Go out, give him the money, and ask for a bracha. Can I just throw it from here? No, it's not nice to throw money at Aniyim. What's the matter with you? We need any schus we could get. Stuck as a gewaldig schus. Now go give him the money. You sure? Go give him the money. Shmuel gets off the carriage. You sure I can't throw it? Give him the money. Yes, Menashe. Slowly but surely.